Good morning.
Howdy, howdy.
Hello.
Just four of us, and it's 4 minutes till the meeting starts.
I was starting to wonder if I was on the wrong Zoom call.
We have a tsunami of board members hit us here, or the executive committee anyway, first.
Mickey did just text me and let me know that he is going to be a few minutes late. He is trying to hurry up and get home.
All right.
Good morning.
Hello.
Roger has a beautiful background.
So much for that.
Yeah. Morning, Roger. Morning, Carlton.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So, Roger, when you're having a lobster bake, do they just crawl right up out of the river and into your pan, into your pot to cook? Are they trained like that when you're in Connecticut?
I would have to say that I'm getting older and wise, and I buy them already steamed. They don't charge anything extra for that.
Here's the thing. You want it done right when you're paying what you're paying for lobster.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, this sounds wussy, but my husband brought some home one time live. He put them under his airline seat, you know, and they were in a box. And after they warmed up, they became more active. And then watching him put them in the pot and them trying to get out, I mean, I'm sorry, but that was just awful. Roger, I'm with you. I would buy them already steamed.
So I do that because I want to maintain I want to keep the pot open to steam clams. And just over the last 3 or 4 weeks, the crabs were running. And boy, I'll tell you what, that's kind of interesting, catching crabs that don't have their pinchers, their claws rubber banded. So you've got to, and man, they can get pretty feisty.
Does someone have their cell phone text alerts on?
I keep
hearing a ringing.
Yeah, that's me. Family chat that I'll try to figure out a way to defeat it.
If you go up to the top and it says information, a lot of times you can mute the conversation.
Well, I don't have an information tab. Any other suggestions?
Okay. Is it an iPhone?
It's the iMessage on my laptop.
Oh, well, I'm going to defer to David or someone.
I don't know the answer to that one.
You know what? I'll just quit it on my laptop. There it goes. I have an iPad open with it on, it's silenced.
Yeah. I did hear from a friend of mine that lives in West Hampton, Massachusetts. She said it was getting down to 45 at night.
Yeah. Yeah. It's getting cool up there right now.
She said the drought though has really got her concerned about the fall colors. She lives in a heavily wooded area and it's just absolutely beautiful.
That's a good point. Yeah, up there right now, it's 57 degrees.
I have family that lives up in Maine. We used to love going up there with the changing of the leaves. It's beautiful.
Where in Maine?
Bangor.
Oh, yeah, that's a beautiful state.
Mm-hmm.
That's where those lobsters came from that were trying to crawl out of the pot.
My dad used to bring them back, and he actually used to stick them up with the pilots. And he would convince the pilots to do it by giving them a couple afterwards.
Nice guy.
I guess I'm just a wuss, but it's really hard to meet your dinner when they're still alive. And then listen to them. You know how they say they scream when that water gets hot?
Right.
Oh, they do.
Well, they're saying now you're supposed to kill them humanely before you put them in the pot, but it's another reason why I like somebody else to steam them.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Morning, Mr. Bristol.
Okay, it's 9:30. Where do we stand?
I only see you, David Bristol, and Carlton.
So we are 3 of 6.
Not a quorum.
We'll give him a couple minutes.
Is Christina on the call either?
Cherie, Jason just texted. He said he does not have the email regarding the board, the meeting.
It might have, the invite must have gone to his old. Hold on. Let me fix that. He should have the email. He probably doesn't have the invite.
Can you please send that to him?
Yeah, you can.
I am doing that right now.
Thank you.
Motorcycle and a Texas motorcycle?
You know, I kind of thought about that, but I haven't made a decision yet.
Torn between two lovers.
Yeah. If it wasn't such a long ride up there, I would probably I'd probably do it, but I don't want to buy a motor vehicle up there. They add the value of the motor vehicle to your ad valorem real estate tax or personal property tax bill.
Oh my God.
Hey Roger. Good morning.
Morning.
I'm curious. I can hear you really well, but I can't hear David hardly at all. Is anybody else having that issue?
Yeah, David's kind of muffled.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I think you have a mic that might be on your headset laying on your desk or something on.
Oh, I'm straight on the computer.
Well, your microphone is very muffled.
David, you started out okay, but yeah, in the last couple minutes you got muffled.
You have nothing there. Nothing there either.
So they add it to your personal property tax? So you're paying on your vehicle at the property tax rate?
That's what I understand. Plus $250 a year for registration. Use your headset if you got it, David. We have anybody else?
I do know Kenny cannot attend. So we are going to have to wait on either Jason or Mickey.
Jason's on the screen. Jason's right. On. I see him. Morning, Jason.
Morning. Sorry. I apologize for being late.
So we are ready to rock and roll, right?
And Cherie, what I'm seeing on the screen is your just Zoom meeting invite. So I don't know if you were intended to have an agenda opened up yet.
There we go.
Go ahead and work that out. We're going to go ahead and call the meeting to order at 9:34. At this time, the public telephone line will be unmuted. Members of the public may comment on any item on today's agenda. If you wish to do so, please announce your name, city of residence, and agenda item on which you are speaking. Maximum of 3 minutes will be permitted per speaker. At the conclusion of this opportunity, the public telephone line will be muted for the duration of the meeting. Do we have anybody wishing to make a public comment? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion to approve the May 29th, 2020 meeting minutes.
This is Carlton. I'll make that motion.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
There's only two of us, so it's either me or Jason.
I'll second.
We have a motion, a second. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Committee chair update, Workforce Development Committee. Jason, you want to start off?
Sure, yeah, just be real quick. We met on August 25th. We approved our minutes, of course. We had two policy recommendations that we made to the board. One was a recommendation policy for non-monetary incentives. This policy was approved by the WD committee. Will be put on the board meetings for consent agenda item. We had a second policy recommendation. It was a policy for documentation and calculation of standard hours for job search activities. This was also approved by WD committee, and then we'll go on the board consent agenda. So this last second policy allows all online job search activities conducted outside of the workforce centers to follow the assigned standard hours without restrictions and requires the subrecipients to develop local policies and procedures based upon WSNCT board policy, operating procedures, and program guidelines. Dana, did you want to add anything to that?
Nope, that's about it. And then we had David did a COVID update, and that was it.
If I remember correctly, and Dana, help me out on this, on that second policy on the standard hours for job, didn't this kind of allow you guys to substitute hours for number of job searches? Is that what that meant?
Mary, are you on the call? Can you make sure that's yes?
Yes. Can you all hear me? This is Mary. Yes. Okay, great. It was not a substitution. This policy is an ongoing standing policy. It was revised to include assigning the two-hour limit or two-hour period for job searches that are conducted online, whether or not they were in the workforce center. Previously, they had to be in the workforce center or they had to be at the employer site in order for those to count that maximum of 2 hours. And so now with COVID, we are allowing them to extend that job search even at home. If they do it and they document it on the job search log, then they can get that 2 hours credit for job search.
Okay, thank you, Mary, for clarifying that. Is there any questions regarding those policies?
I have one. I'm kind of curious what a non-monetary incentive would be.
Sorry, go ahead, Mary.
Okay. Dana, go ahead.
They are in the form of like a gift card, a Walmart gift card. We just cannot offer, you know, cash dollars or any other types of incentives. And that's why they call it non-cash. It's a non-value. You can't redeem it for cash. Gift card, and typically the subcontractor uses Walmart.
And remind us, when are those utilized and for whom?
This policy basically just took all of our programs to put them into one multi-program policy. In the past, we had several policies for incentives broken out amongst all of our programs. So this is mainly for our WIOA youth and choices. And Mary, correct me if I'm wrong, and then maybe and each of the programs have different allowable activities that they can conduct and complete to get the incentive.
Yes, that is. It's for the WIOA program, as well as the Choices Panic Program and the NCP Non-Custodial Parent Programs. And as Dana said, it is non-monetary in value, but it is an incentive for those who are doing up and above their required activity in a program. And so this is a way of up for us to incentivize them and encourage them to continue to excel.
Mary, and I know I asked this last time, but again, I've slept a few times since then. Give us an example of when that might be utilized.
If a participant got a job, then they could get a non-monetary incentive. If they held that job retention for like 30 days at that benchmark, they would be able to get a non-monetary incentive. And then at additional benchmarks, they would be able to get it.
Okay. And then if I remember correctly, were these $50 gift cards from Walmart? Is that typically the standard?
Well, yeah. Typically in our board area with our subrecipient, they are using the Walmart gift card. It does not have to be Walmart gift cards. It could be any non-cash value type of a form of an incentive, whether it was a gas card or other non-cash back cards or vouchers or coupons or things like that. We just choose to use, our subrecipient choose to use the Walmart.
Just typically. Okay, great.
Yes.
Thank you, Mary. Any other questions?
Yeah, Jason, just curiosity. How are those audited? And if you give me a $50 Walmart gift card, that's worth $50 to me. So I don't know how it's not
non-monetary. Yeah, but
it has a value. How do we audit these things?
They do have to keep track of these. I mean, they have a very stringent auditing system in place where they keep track of every number. Card is issued a number and they have to sign out for it. And the staff person that's issuing it has to keep track of the value of that card, when it was given to them, why it was given to them. They have to document all types of things to do it. And yes, it does have a value. It's just in the sight of TWC and what it's given for, it's non-monetary because we're not giving them cash. We're not giving them something that they can just go and do anything with. The Walmart card, even with that, even though Walmart has a lot of things they can purchase at Walmart, there are guidelines around the things that they can even purchase. And so that gets down to the program guidelines and what they explain to the participant when they're issuing them the cards. So they understand what the cards are for and why they're supposed to use them, and they are monitored for that purpose.
And so, Mary, this is not new. In the sense of like, y'all been doing this for a long time. So the policy, what is the actual changes? Is this, you said combining all the groups under one policy, or how is this different than what it was before?
That's basically it. Nothing's changed far as program wise. It depends on what program they're in. Those standards still stand for that program. This is just a multiple policy, whereas so we won't have a policy for TANF choices, a policy for NCP, a policy for WIOA. You know, they're all participants. They're all non-monetary incentives, and they have to follow those program guidelines to issue those incentives based on this board policy limitations that we've put on that program.
Monty has a comment.
Yeah, and that's a very good question that was raised. And one other additional piece of information that was related before is that within those cards there's actually embedded within there. There's only certain codes that can be used on purchases, those type of things. But the other thing that I would mention is that this has been a high area that TWC has looked at over the years. Randy and Deborah Kosarek and all those guys, as well as Dana, they are looking at this periodically. We have actually audits that we do periodically to ensure that it's being done in the right fashion. But in any organization, anytime you talk about cards like this, they are, as David said, they are cash money. And so it is an area that is, even in the best of times and the best of controls, there are things that can happen there. So it is an area that you've rightly pointed out that we need to pay attention to, and that we have concerns about, but it is a very useful tool in being able to carry out that program.
Thanks, Monty.
This is Debbie Kosarek. Working with Deborah Pirtle, our audit manager, we periodically go through and make sure that the internal controls are in place so that, as Monty pointed out, you can't just use the card for anything. But we also look at the controls that Equus has in place so that they're handling the cards correctly. They're tracking the cards, how many cards they have in the workforce center and things of that nature. Because we understand how tempting it might be to you know, take our eye off of that.
you know, I will just, I was going to mention under workforce development, because I'm not sure any other place to bring it up, but, and I wasn't going to say anything because it's kind of something I've been seeing in our business. So I kind of solicit David Bristol's comments on this. Certainly seems to me that the stimulus money flowing into the economy is preventing a lot of people from working because they can stay home and make $300 a week now. And it would look to me like we would use those funds to kind of like this, non-monetary or however you want to classify it, but give, provide stimulus money if people can actually prove they're out looking for work.
So I'll just quickly, we have, my company has hundreds of openings for jobs, for job seekers, as I know many others do. And so these, the, that continued benefit is actually a disincentive to people to go to work. So yeah, if we wanted to take that money and do something, that would be a more helpful way to stimulate our economy. That's my kind of editorial opinion.
So we have a meeting, a top meeting tomorrow with Ed Cerna, and I've made a note to kind of raise that as a question, because some of the input I'm hearing is that, you know, we're at like 60% of the business we were doing pre-COVID, and they're telling me that we can't increase without finding employees, and we just can't find anybody who wants to go to work.
Roger, one of the biggest complaints that I hear from our industry is we, as a workforce board, are their number one competitor for people.
Because of the stimulus?
Because of stimulus. They'd rather, they can stay home and make, you know, 70-80% of what they're making working. And so why risk it and go to work?
Yeah, exactly.
Very true.
I will raise that tomorrow with Ed Cerna. Okay, anything else on the Workforce Development Committee?
No, we just had an update. You know, David gave us a COVID update and some other updates, but that was all.
Excellent. Okay, we'll move to the September 22nd, next week's board meeting agenda to discuss any item that anybody would wish to add or remove from the agenda. I guess it would help if I had the right agenda.
I do have it on the screen as well for you, Roger.
Thank you.
Roger, when did you say your meeting with Mr. Cerna was?
3:00.
Is it before this board meeting?
Yes.
I may be missing it, but maybe a report from how that goes, if you can, if there's something you can talk about from that meeting. I don't know what it's all about, but.
Oh, yeah, certainly. Actually, it's going to be my first TOB meeting as chair. So okay. I'm also kind of interested to see how it goes. And I would also, well, let me kind of run through this first. So we have the introductions, consent agenda, performance update, financial update, kind of typical. We have the similar, if not same, workforce development report, joint executive and oversight accountability report, a report from me about the executive committee. During that time, I will include the TOB update, the COG contract deliverable, nominating committee, and the executive director report. Anything on that anybody wishes to comment on or anything to add? I would add that, let me see if I can find my screen to go back to participants. Okay, I'm not sure what I did, but I've lost it. I would add that during our last meeting, and I don't recall when it was, but Kenny had made a comment during the meeting that he wasn't sure whether the item we were speaking about fell under the purview of the workforce board. And at that time, Carvin sent David Bristol, myself, and staff a copy of the state statute that I remember seeing before, but in my role with Tav, it kind of, and knowing we were going to have this meeting tomorrow with TWC, or I should better state the executive director of TWC, the statute 2308.303 titled Board Duties, which is a listing of when the boards were established. The legislature, I suspect, passed this legislation identifying what boards' duties are. And I found that very interesting. There's some mention here of organizations that, such as religious and charitable organizations that I knew were involved, but I think this really helped put it in context, and I'm going to be very interested to follow up with Kenny and see what his comments are after reading this. I'm of the opinion that we might want to circulate this to all board members. Dave Bristol, you have any comments?
I agree. I actually commented back. That's the first time that I had actually looked at that document. It may have been presented to me before, but it actually has pretty clarifying for all for me.
Yeah, I would agree. Christina, could you circulate that and just state?
Would you like us to include it in the board packet? And that way, if you reference it, they'll have it handy.
That'd be excellent.
Okay.
That would be excellent. Okay, I don't see any. Well, again, I'll ask if anybody has any items on the agenda before we close that item. Have no need for an executive session, and we will join the ONA will join us, and I suspect it's the same link. So we will stand down here for 8 or 9 minutes.
So while we're just kind of waiting, Roger, the other thing I found on there on that was the last couple things talk about just the plumbing industry. And they call them out specifically in that board duties.
Yeah, I found that rather interesting. Apparently that was 2003. So that was before my time. I suspect at that point in time, trades were very much in need.
Yeah.
Mickey, while you're on the call, Christina, did you want to mention, or David, the fact that we're trying to do the nominating committee getting together?
Your mic's not on, David.
Yeah, can you hear me now?
Just barely.
I don't know. I've got some kind of audio problem. The headset's not working. Nothing's working. So, well, Mickey is aware of the nominating committee.
Yeah, and I will take this opportunity to tell you that in reviewing the executive committee and the staff succession, there is some incredibly good expertise on our board. Is it me just paying more attention now, David, or do you agree that we've got some great educational expertise, we've got some economic development expertise?
Oh, I agree with you totally. This is one of our most diverse boards in terms of skill set, yeah, that we've had since I've been in a leadership position.
So it's
and it shows up in the discussion.
I would agree with that. And I think it also shows up in Christina's, well, I don't know if I should put that all in her lap, but in your planning effort, I think a lot of the discussion, TIP Strategies, I think, has done an incredible job. I think comments and discussion have been excellent. And the executive committee I would suggest that the next meeting of the executive committee, which I'm assuming is going to be post officer and executive committee makeup for the coming year, should have on the on their agenda the discussion of challenging the board moving forward and trying to engage the board and staff, because I suspect, based upon the quality of the planning effort, that you're going to have quite a bit to execute. And the more we can challenge the board, not to so much get in the weeds, but the strategic discussions and vision discussions with the expertise that we've got available, I think could be a benefit. Mickey, your mic is muted.
All right, there we go. Sorry about that. If anybody on the executive committee has someone that they'd like to nominate, if they would get that to David or Cherie, so we'd have that once the committee does meet, that we'll be looking at all of those.
Thank you. Our list of participants is growing.
So we currently have Carlton, David, John, Roslyn, and Gay, all for the ONA committee.
So I guess we need to wait 3 minutes.
I think the only person we're waiting on is Bindu.
Thank you. Isn't life great these days with Zoom?
Makes it fun.
More convenient.
That it is, but it sure seems like there's a whole lot more Zoom meetings than traveling to meetings in the old days.
Probably so. Probably.
Yeah, you know, Roger, I think business as we've known it for the past 20 years has changed.
I think, yeah, I would not only agree with that, but I think that's a tremendous understatement.
Yeah.
I mean, I read an article last night about how many businesses were going to be allowing people to work from home and how much they're cutting down the amount of office space that they need. Despite that, Facebook just bought a $400 million office campus up in Seattle to continue to expand their employment base.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be much, much different when your business depends on the hospitality industry and the restaurant trade.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think in my time in this industry, I've never seen anything that affected the industry to the extent it has. And I'm kind of surprised that we're doing as much business as we are. Prior to COVID, we were processing 1 million napkins a week, and we're almost to 500,000 napkins. So wow. Just in fine dining, well, I guess there's additional other than fine dining, but we're still doing a lot of aprons and towels to kitchens, but the napkin business, which is definitely something used by somebody going out to eat, is mm-hmm. is definitely climbing back.
Yeah.
But there's a whole lot of employees that are not at work, whether it's intentional or circumstantial.
Yep, you're exactly right.
Okay, we're about ready to go. Cherie, is there anybody we're waiting on, or we want to hold off?
It looks like we have a quorum, because we have 5 out of the 9.
So we can start. We're waiting on Bindu. I just sent her an email and hopefully she'll join shortly, but we can start.
Okay. You're going to have to help me here. Meeting agenda for this meeting. Is there a separate meeting agenda or is it just this short number 7 on? I guess that's it.
It's just the number 7. Yep.
All right, let's go ahead and get started. This is calling the meeting to order to convene the joint meeting of the Executive Committee and the Oversight and Accountability Committee at 10 o'clock. First item on the agenda is the approval of the September 17th. But Carlton, you know what? You should probably be running this, do you not think?
Well, I will at least open the meeting for the Oversight and Accountability Committee at 10:01, and I will ask for approval of the minutes from September 17th.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, this is Roz Lane. I so move.
I have a motion from Roz. Do I have a second?
This is Gay Goatman. I second.
Thank you, Gay. Any discussion? If not, all in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Minutes pass. And if I can't see the agenda, but I believe it is, I'm seeing performance numbers coming up. So I'm going to guess that's where we're headed. So Michael, is Michael with us?
I'm here.
Okay.
Okay, good morning, everyone. Cherie, can you proceed to the next slide? Okay, good morning, everyone. Now, according to the final release of the July monthly performance report, we met or exceeded performance within 14 of the 15 formally contracted measures for which we have available data. Now, the only measure that we did not meet for the month of July was the choices for work rate measure, which we'll discuss in a minute. Next slide, Cherie. Now, as usual, TWC is not providing claimant data or the EWA performance data within the REAM category. So hopefully they will have this issue fixed for the start of the new year. Next slide, Cherie. Now, the next category is our program participation performance measures. Now, as you can see, we met or exceeded performance within one of the two program participation measures. As previously stated, we had a negative performance status for the choices work rate performance measure. We came in about 69% of target with a current performance of 34.73%. Now, as you can see, we experienced a significant decline in performance from the month of June to July, which was equivalent to about 2.62 percentage points. Now, what's more important is that all 28 boards, we're at a negative performance status with this particular measure. And this is directly related to COVID. Now, TWC proposed that we utilize the February 2020 data as our year-end data. If that is adopted, we will end the year at a meeting performance status with the choices for work rate measure. And that's great news. Now, on to our childcare measure. We'll go back one slide, Cherie. Our childcare measure. As you can see, we are at a meeting performance status with our childcare measure, which through the month of July, we served an average of 7,372 children per day. And we're still performing above that 95% threshold with this measure. And that's a great thing for this measure, I would say. Now you can proceed to the next slide, Cherie. Now, as you can see, we met or exceeded performance within all of our WIOA outcome measures. Now, the most important point that I wanted to make with this particular category is that we went from a negative performance status with the adult credential rate measure to a meeting performance status for the month of July. So performance definitely increased significantly from June to July. Also, that's great news also. Next slide, next two slides, Cherie. Next slide. Now, the last slide that I usually cover in my performance overview is the ranking data. So as you can see, according to the July 2020 NPR, we're ranked 17th of 28 boards and third of seven large boards with an average rank of 15.47 per formally contracted measure. And on to the next slide, Cherie. And that concludes my brief overview of performance. We definitely experienced some successes. The most important news I would say is TWC is definitely considering utilizing the February 2020 data as a year-end evaluation on whether or not we will meet the choices performance measure or not. But if that is adopted, we will be meeting or surpassing performance within all of our formally contracted measures. And that concludes my brief overview, and I'll take any questions if you have any.
Any questions for Michael? Okay.
It's great to see him again.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
Absolutely. All right. Randy, are you next?
I believe I am. I'm going to try to do this and share my screen. I may, Cherie, we may have to, we'll see if this works. Let's see. All right. Is everybody seeing the financial report?
Yes.
All right. So I'll briefly go through this. I know my time is going to be taking some here on the budget here in a minute. So we'll go through a financial report. This is representative through July of our 2020, which is 10 months of our fiscal year. Just a quick reminder, our year is October 1, 2019 through September 30th of 2020. The approved board budget for the board, the staff, centralized functions that y'all approved was $14,201,450. We'll be talking about that a little more in a minute as we look at next year's budget. But currently, for through July, we're behind our July targets by about 6%. About $800,000. So we'll quickly run through a few of the major line items on those. Staffing updates, we do this each time. Our personnel costs, the budget for fully loaded staff, which fully loaded refers to salaries, fringe, and indirect, is about $7.5 million. And through July, we were about a little over 5% or $400,000 behind target on those personnel costs. And I usually show a chart here every month on our attrition. You can see through July, we had about 38 months of attrition. All of our staff openings have been filled, except you'll see we still have one senior early childhood specialist and a couple of business development liaison positions that are still open, but everything else at this time has been filled. That obviously is one of the main contributors to the lower cost than anticipated for personnel cost. Also, we fund two COG fiscal monitors to do our fiscal monitoring for us, primarily for our subrecipient, who's currently ResCare, and it's going to take me a while. They changed their name to Equus. So I'm going to try to get better at saying Equus now, but they do a lot of monitoring for us at our subrecipient level. We fund two full-time positions for those staff, and they've had some attrition as well this year, but they're about 24% behind their target. So there was some other budget savings there with them. We actually, the staff you saw, the early childhood specialist openings, we used some of that attrition to pay for some of the move. They over in Center Point 3, in the building the board's located in Arlington, they Kelly Fontenot and her child care staff, they've actually got a new suite now down on the first floor, suite 102, that everybody have to go check out once we go back. But some of that attrition paid for some of the move down there for all the things that go into a move. So we were able to use some of that attrition. So some things that are COVID related, as you probably are not shocked to see, are travel and staff development. They're two separate budgets. I combined them here. The combined budgets for both of those are about $490,000. And that's for both overnight, non-overnight, and then the staff development portions of that. So expenditures are behind target significantly there, almost 59%, $288,000. But we, you know, David suspended travel or for workforce, and then Mr. Eastland for the entire COG back on the April timeframe. So nobody is traveling now. And of course that affects both obviously travel and the staff development components that have travel related to them. So I don't expect this to really change much for the rest of the year. So we're going to have some savings within this category that we can, two things, either be used as carryover or some of the projects we're finishing right here at the end of the year, but we'll keep you updated on that. Special projects I have each year. So I held back $150,000 this year, primarily for our McKinney Workforce Center relocation. Most of you know that has been completed. We moved into our new location, actually a very attractive location, an impressive location there in McKinney, back in January, the 1st of January. So we have pretty much expended this $150,000 for all the things going into a move with furniture and electricians and data lines and telephones and movers and all the things that go in with a move. We'll be talking more about that in our budget as well. So we have expended this $150,000 and the move has been completed there in McKinney. Lastly, we'll talk to them about our subrecipient. Again, their new name is Equus. It was formerly referred to as ResCare. It's Equus now. So their contract, our contract with them is the same as our fiscal year, October 1 through September 30th. With some additional COVID money we'll be talking about, they're now up to about almost $83 million between, they have two contracts with us, one for our child care service delivery and then one for workforce delivery. So both those contracts combined are roughly $83 million. They're behind targets about 7% or almost $6 million. As you can see, most of it's in down here in the COVID-related money that we'll talk about. So we actually got new COVID money, related money, and you can see down here, back in April, they gave us, we had around $16 million for what I call COVID-related expenditures. And what I mean by that is serving additional children of essential workers. There's codes to identify that. So additional kids to essential workers, pay for the parent share of costs. Typically parents have to pay a portion of the child's cost, and then we pay the rest. Parent share of costs. So for that, for a specific amount of time through the spring and summer, we paid for all of it. We parent share of cost was eliminated for a while, so we picked up all of it. And then this 25%, and so if workforce, I mean if child care centers remained open, and we're still doing this right now, if they remained open through this time, they got a 25% supplement payment. So when I refer to COVID money, this $16 million, that's what it was paying for. As of right now, most everything is coming to an end except this 25%. TWC currently says they want to extend this 25% supplement through December of 2020. So we're continuing with this. Everything else is pretty much coming to an end. But we did get an additional $3.2 million right here at the end of the year, just within the last couple of weeks. So our COVID money with this original 16 and you add this 3 is up over 19 million. And we've spent about 7 million of it through July, about 7.4 million. And they didn't give us an official target, but if you just put a straight line target on it from the time we got it to the end of the year, we're essentially behind a self-inflicted target, I guess you'd say, of about $3 million. It's nothing we're going to get sanctioned for, anything like that. I'm just saying if we got the money for 6 months and we're, 4 months into it, I'll put a straight line target on it. So some of it is beyond our control. A lot of this is beyond our control. The 25% supplement, we're simply just giving the ones that are open a bump of 25%. And the essential workers, they had a period that we gave money for them. But as all those are ending, we can't use that money for other things. We can't move it from essential worker to 25% and all that. So if we're not spending it, it's just going to go back to TWC and then they'll do with it whatever. So it is a little misleading. I don't want to say we're behind target as a penalty. I'm just saying, we're trying to spend the money as efficiently as we can, but we are going to leave some of that, it appears.
Randy, question for you on that.
Yes.
So we're paying everything to send kids to child care providers.
Right. Yep.
So now I'm really curious of then why we're only at 96%. I mean, if we're covering every cost plus a 25% bonus,
Well, so I'm not sure if Kelly's on this call. She can probably say it better than me, but TWC came out all around the May timeframe going into June. And so what was happening was exactly what you're talking about. We were revving the engines 100 RPMs, and we were in. So let me go back up here to what I'm calling normal childcare. I'm referring to the normal at-risk money that we get from the state to serve our kids, the non-COVID. So you can see we're at our target level as far as kids served and the money spent. But what was happening is we were revving way high. And so the state came out and told everybody, because we're paying all these parent share costs and all these other things, quit enrolling new kids. So that's what happened. And so we were gonna be,
okay.
I mean, not 100%, we were gonna be right at it. And so they told us to quit enrolling new kids because we were, the primary reason was that parent share of costs. We were paying everything and it was causing us, they were afraid we were gonna go over.
I got it, okay.
So that's the main reason here at the end. We're probably, you know, they consider 95% of target meeting. So even though we hadn't enrolled any new kids in a few months, we're probably still going to be right at meeting target, which is 95%, even without that. So that shows you where we were when they told us to quit. We were very high, close to 100%.
I got it. All right. Thanks for that.
Okay. So I know this is a lot, and we'll talk some more about childcare when we get into budget. Any questions more on childcare? Again, two components, the normal component that we're serving our kids that we do all the time, our regular at-risk kids, we're at target on that. The COVID money, which right now when you add the $16 million plus what we just got here recently, we're over $19 million. We've spent $7 million of that, so we're not going to spend all that, but we are going to continue serving the 25% supplement payments, or paying those up through December until it changes again. And let me tell you, this has changed a lot in the last few months. So this is all subject to change.
Randy, I've got a question. Okay. You said the state told you to quit adding people, but the number one expenditure down here is serve additional children for essential workers. So you were adding the essential workers' kids, but then not enrolling others?
Exactly. They allowed us to, and there was that TWC issued a list of what they considered essential workers. And so we were allowed to enter those children. I think it was up to right around the 1st of June, or right in that time frame, maybe it was mid-June. And so then we could serve them for 90 days past the time they enrolled their kids. But they cut that off right around, I can't remember, it was right around 1st to mid-June, they cut that off. So you right around mid-August to the end of August, those were essentially done, those essential workers, because you could serve 90 days past the time they enrolled. We couldn't enroll them any time past around mid-June. But those were specific pot of money, COVID money. We wouldn't use in regular money that we had. We were using this additional $16 million that we got to fund them. And because they cut them off pretty quick, we're not going to use all that money that essential worker, because again, we can't serve them past 90 days past their enrollment, which would end right around mid August to end of August timeframe.
Okay.
And again, all this is subject to change. That's the rules as of right now.
Randy, do you know off the top of your head on the essential worker designation, is that the Department of Homeland Security's essential worker?
I don't believe they were. Kelly, are you on the call? Is Kelly on here?
I'm on the call. And no, they were not. They were actually a very small subset of what TWC considered essential workers.
Okay.
So again, we'll be talking some more about this in our budget presentation a little bit later. But again, we are going to have a little bit of carryover. But the carryover we're going to have for what I'm talking about is COVID. But it's mainly going to be dealing with this 25%. They want us to keep doing that through December. We're averaging up through now about $1.2 million a month on paying these 25, or give or take, for these 25% supplement payments to the child care centers that have remained open. So, again, we'll talk some more about that. Lastly, the WOA grants. Yeah. So, again, we were doing pretty good in that grant, and COVID came along, and you can see we're 19% or $1.7 million behind target. The primary reason, as you can imagine, WOA is the primary grant that we utilize. I say grant. It's broken down into multiple grants, the adult, the youth, the dislocated. But we use those grants. That's the primary grants we use for customer training. So they come in our workforce centers. They're determined to be eligible. And so we can send them to training things like traditional colleges, vocational schools, truck driving schools, those type of things. And through COVID, a lot of those colleges are shut down. So that really caused us to drop quite a bit behind target. Now, most of those colleges are offering some sort of virtual version of online training. So our expenditures will start to pick back up, and they have some. But for this year, we're just going to have some carryover. These grants are two-year grants, so we still expect to spend the money prior to the end of the two-year grant. But we're just going to have some carryover here. We're just not going to be able to get back on target by the end of the year. All right, so that's all I had on the July expenditures, and I'll entertain any questions y'all have at this time.
Randy, going back to the $1.2 million you said that you're paying out in the 25% bonus.
Yes, let me go back to that.
How many actual providers is that?
I'm going to estimate a number here. I can get you a more exact number, but it's roughly 600 to 800 providers, give or take. We have a lot of them that are open, but depending, you know, they're not the same every time, but, you know, probably the average is probably closer down to 600 range, but I can get you a more exact number on that.
So they're getting.
Yes. They're starting to
20,000 of a bonus.
Right.
Okay. That's all I was looking for. Thank you.
Oh, I'm sorry, David, did you mean the number of providers or the amount of money? I'm sorry, I think I answered you the number.
You said the number of the money was $1.2 million per month.
Oh, okay. I misunderstood.
So I wanted to know how many providers that is.
Okay. So I did. I didn't know if you were talking about the average amount of supplement they got or the number of providers. So yeah, the number of providers, it varies, but you know, that around that 600 range, I think, is is where we are right now.
And just out of trivia, and this may go to Kelly, is how many providers do we have overall?
We have probably close to what Randy said, between 600 to 800 that we have contracts with. Not all of them actually have children enrolled, okay. Subsidy children.
Okay, maybe let me see if I can rephrase that. So in all of our total programs, we have 600 to 800 facilities. So my question, Randy, is of those 600 to 800 facilities, how many of them are open and getting that 25% supplement?
Kelly, have you seen a number here? I didn't count the last time it went out. Have you seen a number lately from TWC on our open providers?
I didn't look yesterday, but David, I can get that to you before we get off the call.
Okay. Thanks. The reason I ask is I have passed several facilities that I know of that are actually closed still, so. Just curious, and see if there's just a couple of them that are getting all that big chunk of money. That's what I'm looking for. Okay, thank you.
Any other questions?
All right, if there's not any other questions, then do we want to move on to the budget?
Okay, let's see here. Make sure y'all can see this. So y'all should be seeing a dollar sign with a 2020 proposed budget. Is that what y'all are seeing?
No, I'm still seeing a question mark.
Okay. Cherie, do I need to, I know with Teams, I need to unshare and share again. Do I need to do something on Zoom?
It depends on if you shared screen or not. So if you just filled in that PowerPoint over the other one, then you should be fine. I mean, you might want to unshare and share again just to make sure. I don't know how you shared it.
Let me try this again here. Well,
would you like for me to share it for you?
I'll tell you what. Trying again to share this. It's saying I tell you what, Sheree, go ahead and do it. Go ahead and I don't want to take up any more time trying to, if you could go ahead and get it up there. Yep, there we go. All right, so what I'd like to do, the ones that have been here in the past, I try to keep a similar format, so what I'd like to do is we're going to look at some of our funding definitions. I refer to a lot of these grants a lot during the year, so we're going to look at a few of these, our primary grants, make sure we're all on the same page when we're talking a lot of these acronyms and abbreviations, and then we're going to get into the available revenue that I'm projecting for the 12 months upcoming October 1 through September. And then we're going to look lastly at how we plan on breaking that up and splitting it up between the board and its staff and centralized functions and what's going down to Equus and our subrecipient. So let's go ahead and get started. So Sheree, if we go to the first slide. So I typically refer to these funding as core funding and discretionary funding. So in core funding, those are the grants that I count on each and every year to fund our workforce centers and to fund us here at the board level, and I count on those. Those are the ones that are reoccurring. We usually get those in each and every year. So you can see the child care grants. Child care is typically, I simply refer to it as child care a lot, but the reality is it's got lots of different contracts in that child care grant. So you've got that first one you see up there, the partially subsidized direct care, that CCF, that one and the second one, local match, those two together, this year is roughly $50 million, and that's where we serve the majority of our kids, pay for a lot of the operations for both us and ResCare or Equus. And so that's our primary normal funding for for child care. So you'll see a lot CCF and local match, and that's what I'm referring to. The COVID money that we got this year was actually in the same contract. They didn't split it out, but I split it out here because it was so material and did skew the numbers a lot. So I did split it out separately. We do have grants down there, the Department of Family Services and the Child Care Quality Grant. We'll talk some about those. And then we've got the Child Care Automated Attendance Service. That's for the swipe card services or the swipe card system that we have down in our child care centers where parents can swipe their kids in and out. We get money to pay that bill. So that's that grant. So again, child care is our biggest funding source. Typically, it's well over 70% of all of our available funding, but as you can see, it's broken down into multiple grants. I just want to make sure everybody is aware of that as we're talking about it. Secondly, you'll see our Workforce Innovation Opportunity Act, or WIOA. Again, it's broken out between the youth, adult, and dislocated, and rapid response. Like I mentioned a while ago, we do the vast majority of our customer training with those grants, and it is our second largest funding source. Down at the bottom, Temporary Assistance for Needy Families, that's traditional welfare type grant. We get that each and every year. Sheree, if you go to the next one. So lastly, on our core funding, if we look a little bit, you'll see the SNAP, Supplemental Attrition Assistance Program. That's what most of us remember is food stamp. So they changed the name a few years ago, but it's SNAP now, but that's the food stamp funding. And then I'll mention the last three just to kind of explain how some of this works with some of the state staff. The Employment Services, or ES, there's about 52 TWC staff that work within our workforce centers and doing some of the same things that our subrecipient staff are doing down there, but they're actually employees of the state. The TWC gives us money to just pay their support costs like rent, utilities, telephone, travel, that sort of thing. Same way with the veterans. We got 10 of veteran staff within our workforce centers. They've went back to TWC. They were employees of the Texas Veterans Commission. They're back with TWC now, same thing. They give us money to support their you know, rent utilities out there. And then the VR, Vocation Rehabilitation, we've been talking about that with you for the last couple of years. We've actually integrated them within five of our centers now, McKinney, Granbury, Loxahatchee, Corsicana, and Greenville, for a total of about 36 VR staff have been integrated. And so this next year, we're planning our Denton Center. We're planning on integrating about 21 of those in our Denton Workforce Center. So, Sharif, we go to the next one. Lastly, look at some of the discretionary funding. When I mean discretionary, those are the ones typically are not reoccurring. They show up. They have a finite life. They die a natural death. We don't we'll use the money, and we appreciate the money, but I'm not typically counting on it each and every year to fund operations and a lot of things we do. A few of those I'll point out to you. The WA alternative funding, down there third from the bottom. We got some additional funding way back in 2019, about $450,000. It's not the typical WA. We got to actually develop some projects for that. And so we've got some money still left in that we'll be spending in 2021. We'll talk some about that. Performance incentive awards. We get awards, or we hope to get awards each year at the TWC conference. Those could be for lots of different things. It might be $30,000, $70,000, $100,000, but we have to develop projects for those, but we like to use those and do some things that we typically can't do with other money. So we do have some performance incentive awards we'll be talking about. And then the last one, Apprenticeship Texas Expansion Grant. We just applied for that this year, and we were just notified about 2 weeks ago from TWC that we did get that. And I'll just read right here kind of what this is referring to. It's to support the expansion of the Bombardier U.S. Aerostructure aircraft assembler apprenticeship program. So what we're wanting to do, we're going to get about $120,000 for this grant, but we're wanting to use most of it to try to support about 20% of the training costs for 60 participants within this program. And so we were excited to get that. So it'll be, it looks like it's going to start here in October, and I think it's going to run about 18 months. We hadn't got all the final details yet. All right, Sheree, let's go ahead and go on.
Hey, Randy, before you move on, did you mean to say Bombardier or Bombardier?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You're right. I do have my glasses on, but yeah. How did you say that?
Bombardier.
Bombardier. Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, okay. I misread that. You're exactly right. My specs need to be intensified, I think. So I like to use this slide just as a visual of how we get our funding. And I know it's a little bit confusing, and this isn't 100%, but the vast majority of our funding is federal, close to 80%. And so it comes from all different types of departments in Washington. You see the Department of Labor, Department of Human Resources, Department of Agriculture, Department of Education. So all that money starts in Washington, and then it rolls out through the states, and it comes to the state of Texas through TWC, and then it comes down to the COG. And so I'm projecting about $86.1 million available this year at the Council of Governments. And I'm sorry, available as far as new funding and carryover funding that we have available to us. And then I'm projecting to allocate of that money, of that $86 million, about $69.8 of it down to Equus for our Child Care and Workforce Center subrecipient. So again, this isn't 100%, but this is the vast majority of our funding. It does start at the Washington, it comes through TWC down to the COG, and then we keep some of it for us, for our budget, and then allocate the vast majority down to our subrecipients.
Hey, Randy.
Yes.
Question. Department of Human Resources.
Right.
Who is that?
Well.
Are you sure it's not Health and Human Services?
You know, Let me verify that. I mean, we get on the grants, and we got federal ID numbers that come with these. They may be synonymous. That may be synonymous. Let me verify that, in fact, is the case on this, because they may call it this on their official federal ID, but I believe they are synonymous. I believe that is synonymous.
Okay.
And they do provide, as you can see, the vast majority of our child care, TANF, all that. Most of our funding is coming through them. All right, Sheree, let's go to the next one. So let's go ahead and start talking a little bit how the funding that I'm planning for this next year that available, both new and carryover funding, and then a little bit later we'll get into how we're wanting to split it up. So you can see the 21 budget, the proposed funding I have is $86.1 million. Like I said, where I go, That is a decrease of 17.3 million of almost, or almost 17%. Every budget seems to have a story, and the story on this budget is this. We'll go through the detail, but the vast majority of the decrease is going to be between two funding sources. It's going to be the COVID money that we got in child care during 20, and it's going to be, we did receive a decrease in our WOA funding. So as we go through this, we'll go through some detail, but that's going to be the theme throughout this, as you see. So we'll start with our child care funding. I've broken out between new and carryover, but you can see for total funding available, almost 65 million, which is a 15.6 million or 19.4% decrease. But if you look right below it in the new funding, you'll see that COVID-19 is a 15.2% decrease. So that's the vast majority right there of the decrease is that 15.2 million of COVID. Again, these are subject to change. TWC has made a lot of changes over this last few months, but right now that appears to be the case. Our carryover funding, about 1.2 million increase, and you can see in COVID is about a million of that mainly for that 25% supplement. So that's that million you'll see, and that's the majority of the increase in that. So let's look a little bit of our core funding other than child care, those other grants we talked about, WOA, TANF, SNAP, all those others. About 19.5 available for both new and carryover, and I'm projecting a decrease of about 1.4 million or over 6%. So again, Sharifa, go to the next slide. The theme of this, of that, if you look at the new funding, WOA, a decrease of 1.5 million. So there's where the majority of it is right there, is that 1.5 million of WOA. The carryover funds, a slight increase, about 270,000. Some ins and outs there on the different grants. But again, the big story there is as a board, when we got the new funding this year, starting in July, we did a decrease of almost 13%. All right, Sharif, if we go to the next slide.
Randy, I've got a question there. This is Roz. Okay. With us having the Equus getting less money, what is that going to do to our child care numbers?
Well, when we get down, we'll look at Equus here in just a little bit. You can see I'll split it out between the COVID and the other regular money. As far as regular money, they're not going to experience too much of a decrease. Where they're going to experience the decrease, excuse the numbers, is all that, you know, 16, almost 19 million of COVID money they got in 20, that's where the decrease is going to be. So it is a little bit misleading, you know, like I said, that COVID showed up for just that purpose. So that's where their decrease is going to be, is that COVID money. Let's see. Can we go back, Sheree, one more slide? I see. Let me make sure I was okay. Okay. We were done with that. So the discretionary programs, a decrease of about 379,000. We talked about some of those earlier. There's that WOA alternative funding I mentioned. We got about 450,000 back in 19. We spent some of it in 20. We gave some to Equus they spent some on some individual training accounts that was sending people to college and vocational schools. They spent about 200 of it. So we do have the balance going into to 21 to spend, but you know, we do have a decrease in available funding there. We have a RISI grant. Let me tell you what RISI stands for here. It's Reemployment Services and Eligibility Assessment. I may actually move that to a core grant this next year. It's been showing up the last few years. It may end up being one we get in each and every year. We're projecting a decrease in that grant of over $200,000. And then there's that Apprenticeship Texas Expansion Grant we talked about, we just received. That's a $120,000 increase. So the net result of all that is about a $379,000 decrease in our discretionary programs. All right, Sheree, we can go on to the next one. So sometimes a pictorial view helps, you know, put things in perspective. You can see here, really puts in perspective child care. It's a vast majority of our funding, but you can see that's where a big decrease. And this does include all that COVID money I was talking about. So when you see we were talking about it decreasing almost 17 million or 21%, That's that COVID money right there. The regular money isn't going to change a lot that we were used to getting that funds all of our kids in care or at risk. We call it sometimes at risk. That's our normal money. So that's not experiencing much of a decrease, but it's the COVID that's causing this to go way down. And then here's our other core services in red. That's going down approximately 1 billion. So you can see it going down some. The others aren't experiencing the type decreases. The carryover and discretion and increases aren't as dramatic, but there's where the big change is right there. And then for WOA decrease, you're going to see a decrease in our other core funding. All right, Sheree, let's go ahead. Okay, so this is what I'm going to ask y'all to vote on here in just a little bit. This is the money. I've played with the terms over the years to try to make sure this is clear what I'm talking about. My term I use is workforce board, staff, and centralized functions. To simplify this from now on through the presentation, I'll just say the board. So when I'm saying the board's budget, what I'm talking about is the workforce board, the staff at the COG, and the centralized functions. So, you know, that's all the centralized functions are, we take care of the workforce centers, rent, utilities, maintenance, all that, technology support, maintenance, all the stuff we have to support the over 60 staff we have at the COG, all that together is what I'm referring to. And that's what I'll be asking y'all to vote on here in just a little bit. And this is opposed to the subrecipient money that we pass through to them that we'll talk about next. But this is what's held at the board level. So you can see the proposed budget, $15,842,777. That's an increase of about $1.6 million or 11%. Okay, like I said a while ago, almost every budget has a story. The story on this is unique. Most of the time in my going on 19 years here at the COG, usually when we have these increases, it's due to staffing. We're asking for additional staff. It's not the case on this particular budget. In fact, the staff have no increases in staff and actually a little bit of a decrease in staff. So we'll get into some of the reasons for the increase. A lot of it is what I refer to as one-time type cost, meaning it's not our normal operations. We're doing things for the workforce centers, trying to help customer support, things like that, but it's in our budget. So we'll go ahead and get started down there. Obviously the biggest category is personnel and fully loaded salaries, fringe and indirect. It's about 7.7 million. That's a slight increase, a little over 3%, 280,000. We'll talk a little bit about that here in just a second. But for FTEs, we're supporting 62.9 FTEs, and that includes David's direct support. That includes like people like me and my staff and the monitors at COG and the technology people that support the workforce centers and everything. All those together, that's almost 63. And you can see that's a little bit of a decrease, a 0.4 FTE or 0.6% decrease. So, and you can see the two down there, the two positions. We had a communications coordinator that was actually shared between several COG departments. The workforce had paid about 0.3 FTEs for them, or 30%. And so that position wasn't funded. So that's a 0.3 FTE decrease. And then the one below it, the fiscal manager, that's Stephen Davis. He works for me, does a great job of a lot of the accounting and reporting. But he's actually getting real efficient. So he can only help workforce, but he's helping some other departments as well at the COG. So the charges to workforce are projected to go down about 10% for him, or about 0.1 FTEs. All right, sure, if we go to the next slide. So I mentioned the salaries going up, or the personnel about 280,000. Here's the main reason why. We had a 2% budget merit increase for staff, certain staff promotions and salary adjustments for a few staff, and then our fringe benefit rate for the COG went up from 47.2 to 49.3%. So all that together is the primary reason for the overall 3% increase to personnel.
Randy, what's the cause of the 2% 1% increase in the fringe?
I'll take a stab at it. Monty, I don't know if you're still on here. Monty may want to jump in, but a lot of it is we still pay 100% of the medical for our staff. We pay 50% for family members on the plan, but that cost is, like a lot of you have experienced, has been going up each and every year. So that is the primary reason is medical benefits.
That's it. And then also we added a couple of holidays, work holidays, because of our compensation and being under the state pay plan and competitiveness. We needed to add a couple of work work holidays there. And so we added those in order to accommodate that. That also affected the fringe rate. So those two elements are the primary drivers. The healthcare, we continue to be in a position where we've been able to control our costs to some degree, but we have that through TML, and so it's one that we keep an eye on all the time as far as what our healthcare costs are and all those type of things. So those are the two components.
Monty, I need to come work for you if you're going to pay for 100% of my healthcare.
Yes, sir. That is a good point. Because others are able to have other benefits that are greater than what we're able to do, it's just one of the things that we can do allows us to keep a competitive package in the workplace that we're in. But you're making a valid point.
Thanks.
All right, Sheree, you want to go to the next slide? All right, so child care quality. We talk about this a lot throughout the year. So as you remember, when we looked at the child care grants, this was one of the grants we got under the child care umbrella, and it's called child care quality. This year I'm projecting the grant about $1.7 million. We do not allocate this down to our subrecipient. We keep this all in the board's budget. And so we do several different things with this, but the primary goal is exactly what it says, the name of the grant, child care quality. We're trying to increase the quality of care down at our child care centers through different type of strategies. And so Kelly has about 13 staff that in some form or fashion help to increase the child care quality. By a lot of them are visiting out there as mentors and trying to help them do certain things to increase the quality. Help TWC has really pushed the number of Texas Rising Star child care centers to be increasing, and so they're helping them do that. So a large portion of that $1.7 million, I'm funding the positions, their salary, friends, travel, any rent, utilities, all that kind of stuff. And then the remaining portion we actually use for things for selected child care centers to help them with curriculum development, staff development, any equipment needs they may have, playground equipment or anything like that. So we use for that. And this is what I'm referring to. I keep that as a separate line item, and I refer to that as child care quality program delivery. And that's that component that we're using for, like I said, the curriculum development, equipment, staff development, that type thing for the selected child care centers in our area. So you can see I'm projecting about $341,000 available for that. It's an increase of over $100,000. And there's a couple reasons down there. Because of the way the numbers played out, I didn't have to hold as much money back for rent and travel and staff development. So that left more money for this category. So that was $73,000. And then we got some additional funds for this during the year that weren't allocated, about $72,000. We got some more money from the state from the quality grant. And so that'll be allocated this next year. And so that those two together are the primary reason for that $112,000 increase in that. And so Kelly and her staff will be coming up with plans for that. So next one, Sheree. All right, the workforce center infrastructure. And so what I mean by that is we have 11 workforce centers out there, and all the infrastructure support, the rent, the utilities, the postage machines, copiers, the maintenance, all those things that go into supporting a workforce center, the infrastructure. I'm not talking about anything to do with the staff or related cost out there. I'm talking just the infrastructure. We do hold back at the board level. And so I'm projecting about $2.2 million of that, which is a slight increase, about $123,000 or 5.8%. So we got a couple things going on there that are primary reason for the increase. Due to COVID-related reasons, we've planned for and more intense cleaning through day porter services. We've always had janitorial out there that clean at night, but at least I planned for 4 months through January timeframe to have day porter services in these centers, and that's going to be an increase to about $89,000. We may want to increase that, but right now it's planned for 4 months, October through January. So that's that additional janitorial is 89,000. And then, like I mentioned earlier, we'll talk about it here in a second more in detail, but we're planning, we've got a new workforce center planned for Denton. That's our biggest center. They're currently starting construction as we speak. We've had a 10-year lease out there that y'all approved and COG approved. It's planned on being completed right around the April timeframe. And so it's an increase from 20,000 square feet up to about 26,700 square feet. So it is a bigger center. So we got a little bit extra rent and utilities down there that's going to increase some of that infrastructure as well. So those are the two things on that. And we'll talk some here in a minute about the move for Denton, because that's going to be a big move for us. So professional services, we got things down there like contracted services and other similar type budget categories. So you can see it's actually a substantial increase, 389,000, about 25%. So a few of the things that make up that increase, we've been trying to update redesign the workforce website. We started in 20, but hopefully we'll finish that in 21. So we got about 60,000 increase for that. We used to do mystery shopper services for workforce centers to help determine what kind of customer service is being provided in our workforce centers. Hadn't done that in a while, but we're going to try to do that again to make sure the customer service is what we hoped it is, or hope it will be. And so we've got money in there for that. Strategic planning services, we got some consulting services planned in there for that $100,000. And then performance incentive awards. I told you earlier, we get awards for different things. We got two of them in 2020 that go into 21. They don't end until up in 21. But we got an award for a youth inspiration award for $75,000. And then a Texas Hireability Award that was $25,000. So those two together, and we'll be developing projects for those to be completed in 21. So that is money that the state gave us awards that it's in our budget that we'll be defining what projects we'll develop, and TWC will have to approve those. So anyway, that is the vast majority of the increase for professional services. If we go on next, Cherie. So equipment, $714,000 planned, an increase of over $200,000, and the vast majority of that is we're trying to replace the computers and the related equipment in our workforce centers. We're not going to do all of them, but a large portion of them during the year, and that's about $200,000 of that increase is for those workforce center computers and related equipment. And what I mean by that is like the screens and other things that go with getting those computers ready. Next, Tree. All right, special projects. Here's what we were talking about this move to Denton. This is a big move for us. This is our biggest center. We've got over 100 staff in there. We're planning on about 21 VR staff joining us there. So we're moving over about 125 staff coming in here. So I've got $650,000 planned, which when you compare it to last year's special projects, is a large increase. That's at $500,000. So over $1.6 million, there's a lot of it right there, is just trying to get Denton in our new location. So there's a lot that you can imagine, the things that go into a move, or furniture, the movers, telephone, security systems, all the things you see there. And I've got it broken down. So the way this works, I've got $500,000 of the money that was allocated to us. So $500,000 of that I've got set aside to move Equus's both child care, because Denton has all of our child care staff. I'm not sure if I mentioned that. They've got over 60 child care staff sitting in there. Plus they got workforce center staff that do the workforce center service delivery component. So we got two types of staff there. They're about 100 staff by themselves. And then we got about 21 staff of VR. So I've got about $500,000 budgeted for the workforce center, and then for VR, about 150. Now VR will give us the money for that. That 150, it's in our budget and we'll pay it, but they will give us the funding for it. So we have to submit a contract request, but they will, based on the actual expenditures, they will give us the money for that. So that's the breakout between the 650, 500 for Equus's staff, both child care and workforce center, and then for VR, about 150,000. A large amount of that is trying to get the new furniture in there for both staff cubes and the customer workstations. That's a large portion of that. So again, of our increase, a big piece of it sitting right here in this $500,000. All right, Cherie. All right, so
what I try to use this graph to represent is of the allocated money in 2020 and 2021, how much of it do we plan on going down to our subrecipient, which is Equus? They get the vast majority of it. And how much is held back of the piece of the pie for us as a board to fund all the things that we just talked about for the board's budget? So for the board, I tried to break it out in two components as well. I call it board reoccurring operations and then board one time. And what I mean by reoccurring operations, that's the things, it's mainly staff and staff support. That's their salary fringe, indirect travel, rent, utilities, those type things. One-time costs, there's a lot of those things we just talked about. Moving to workforce centers, maybe things like buying new computers that we don't do that very often. And some of those type, let me get down here. I've got a list of all those, some of those that we talked about. The performance incentive awards, website redesign, those things that are not normal and reoccurring. I break those out as one-time costs. So you can tell for almost 86% went down to our subrecipient. That's the piece of the pie. We had about $100 million of allocated funds. And when I say allocated, I do hold back a portion as contingency that I don't allocate. But of the allocated funds in 2020, about $100 million, about 14.2% was held at the board level when you put these two together. And almost 85.8% went down to res care. Going into 21, you can see when you put these together, both a one-time and reoccurring for the board, that's about 18.5%. So that's an increase for board cost of 14 of the piece of the pie goes up. The board goes up about 4.3%. Res care or Equus goes down about 4.3%. And again, it's not complicated math. I mean, our overall funding, like I talked about at the beginning of the year, is expected to go down about $17 million. But yet the board, you know, we're trying to do some of the things for the workforce centers I mentioned, some of these one-time costs, you know, like I said, the update our website to drive customers to our services, the Denton move, that was $500,000 itself of increase. Computer replacements, that was $200,000. Website was another $60,000. So just those one-time, that was over $800,000 or 52% of our increase was just those one-time costs. And those were not things that are for staff, our staff. Those are things that they're really for more program delivery purposes. They're for our workforce centers and workforce center staff, but they're in our budget. So our budget did go up, but a lot of it is for those one-time costs for the workforce centers. So when you put the two together, our funding going down some, our costs going up some, that drives more costs to the board budget, a little bit less cost down to res care or Equus. All right, so now what we'll do, we'll just finish quickly with what we're going to do with the rest of it. Most of it's going to go to Equus. So, Sheree, if we could go to the next slide. So our program delivery, and when I say program delivery, that's mainly, like I said, going to Equus to actually run those workforce centers for us. And they got two contracts. They got the child care and the workforce center service delivery contract. So both those together, I'm projecting almost $70 million, which is a decrease of $16 million or 18%. Again, the story is going to be the same as when we were talking about our funding available to the COG. It's going to be COVID monies going down for child care and WOA and the other core services. So we'll go through here and look at it, but that's going to be the same theme as we talked about earlier. So for child care, overall funding, both new and carryover, I'm projecting about $58 million to them, $13 million decrease, but you can see $15 million decrease in that COVID money. And that's really out of our control. It showed up in the spring and we spent it as we were directed. And as of right now, it appears it's going to be going away. So there's where the decrease is. You can see in their normal funding right here, actually a little bit of an increase. And even in the carryover, got a little bit of an increase. So their overall funding for normal and recurring child care services is not going to be affected. It's the COVID money is where we're seeing the big decrease. All right, Sheree, if we go to the next one. Same way with the workforce, the other core services, the non-child care. Again, you're going to see $11.6 million, a decrease of over $2 million. But when you look at it, new funding is going down over $2 million, but there it is right there. It's WOA. It's the same type thing. The amount of money that we had to allocate to them went down about $1.9 million. So that's the vast majority of their decrease. There's some other ins and outs, but that's most of it. The discretionary funding that we give them, that WOA alternative funding we talked about earlier, we'd given them $393,000 of it in 2020. They spent about $200 of it, but we're bringing the rest of it up here at the board level. We're gonna finish the rest of it this year at our level, and so that's a decrease to them of over, almost $400,000. And then that RISI grant we talked about going down $160,000. So that's the vast majority of their decrease. All right, Shirley, let's go to the next one. All right, we talked about that new grant we got, that Texas Expansion, Apprenticeship Texas Expansion Grant. So like I said, we'll be trying to fund about 20% of 60 apprenticeship-type participants. And so we're going to, of the $120,000, we're planning on using about $78,000 for that. And so we'll need to develop a contract with a subrecipient to do that for us. And we haven't done that. So we'll be providing more details in the next few months as that grant's developed. And then, like I said, at the beginning, I do hold back some funding. I call it unallocated, or so it may be easier to envision as contingency funding. All that means is I'm going to hold it back. I'm not going to put it in the board's budget. I'm not going to allocate it to Equus. I'm going to hold it back, and that's amongst all the grants. That's just not in any one pot. I say all the grants. That's mainly our core grant. And so we can use it if other projects come in during the year and we want to use it, and the board would have to come back to the board to ask to increase our budget. We might allocate it to Equus if we see a need for that, or if it's not used, most of it will be used as carryover for the next year. But anyway, I like to, just for contingency purposes, not allocate every dollar I have. Some of those lessons have been learned the hard way. So, lastly, if we go to the final slide, Cherie. So here's another pictorial view of what we've been talking about. So what this represents is all the different, here's how we plan on allocating all the funding for 20, and then what we plan on doing for 21. This includes everything, unallocated, other contractors, rest care, everything. So you can see a big piece of the pie. Again, this really brings it out. Child care is the red. So it went from 69.5%. It decreased from 69.5 down to 67.6, which is a decrease of 1.9%. Again, our the funding available to them has went down, but most of that, all that was due to COVID. They were experiencing that $13 million decrease, but that's that COVID money. But as of the piece of the pie, that caused them to decrease that, down a couple percent as the piece of the pie. The purple here, that's the other core services, the res care. It's actually holding pretty steady of the piece of the pie compared to previous year, because it just kind of worked out that way. Overall funding is going down approximately 16, almost 17%. Well, when you look at the piece of the pie for those non-child care core services for res care, they're actually going down about 17, about the same. So it just kind of worked out, even though they got less money, the piece of the pie worked out about the same, just because their funding dropped for those services about the same amount as the overall funding overall drop. You can see here, this is from 13.7 to 18.4. That's the piece of the overall pie for the board's budget. We've talked about that. It's went up. We've increased the budget mainly for those one-time costs, but caused the piece of the pie overall to go up because of that. So those are the primary components of that. You'll see a little bit. We didn't have any other subrecipients from the previous year. We got that little bit for that new grant we talked about. That's 0.1%. So you see a little bit of an increase there. So that is it. I've got, Sheree, if we go to the next one, I think I didn't get it on the one I sent you. Let me read you the actual recommendation. I thought I was going to get it on that last slide, and it just didn't happen. Let me read that to you. It says that I move the Joint Executive and Oversight and Accountability Committee recommend that the Workforce Board of Directors approve the Workforce Board staff and centralized functions FY21 budget equaling $15,842,777. The balance of available funds is projected to be allocated to the COG subrecipient for program delivery, currently estimated to be $69,854,336, with a small percentage designated as unallocated or contingency funds which is currently estimated to be $390,348. So that is the recommendation. Before y'all vote, I'd be happy to entertain any questions y'all have about the budget.
I have one question.
Okay.
From a procedural standpoint, we do not have a action listed on this item. How have we handled that in the past, Christina or David?
Actually, the joint committee does take a vote on this, and it would be the committees that recommend this to the workforce board for approval.
Okay, as long as we don't have action listed, so I would be hesitant to say that that would be a vote, but they can certainly recommend that it go to the agenda next week.
At the top of the agenda section, does it say for discussion and possible approval? Is that what you're referring to? I'm sorry, I don't have multiple screens available to me right now.
Item number 7 is convene a joint meeting of the Executive Committee with the Oversight and Accountability Committee at 10 o'clock a.m.
Yeah, Roger, I was looking at the same thing and could not find anything that denotes action. I was curious about it.
We do have it listed on next week's agenda as a action item. So that's really what you're after, is a board action.
It will be a board action, correct. Just typically what we do is we bring it, like most policies that go on the consent agenda, they go to the committee first for discussion and consideration, and to see if that committee is willing to take it forward to the board. So that's what we were looking for today.
As long I would consider O&A making a recommendation today to move it forward, but I would be hesitant to take action on an agenda item that does not say you're going to take action. And we might be splitting hairs here, but just to be safe.
Understood. Unfortunately, I'm at a disadvantage. I don't have Carvin here. I see what you're saying.
You hear me? This is Mike Eastland?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, let's just go ahead and get the committee to recommend. You're taking it to the board anyhow for final approval, so that's going to be the ultimate action. So I think so long as you guys can say that you review this, that you recommend its approval to the full committee next week. We will have done everything we need to, and that will be Rogers. I think you're correct. You don't have to worry about whether you've taken appropriate action.
But I think our recommendation should remove the word of executive, joint executive, because we're going to be making the recommendation, and Roger is hesitant to join the executive committee with us.
Right.
So with that removal and tweaking of that wording to reflect what Ross just said, could we then make that recommendation?
Certainly.
Roger, I hate to butt in here. So basically, are there questions on the budget that was presented, or are we just going to go straight to a recommendation?
I've got a question.
Okay.
Randy, on looking at WIOA, in your earlier slide on core funding, you showed WIOA decrease of $1.5 million. Then when we get to the end, it's showing a 1.9 decrease. What was that 400,000 difference?
Yeah, okay, so that's a good point. So what happens is when you look at our, let me get to my notes here. So you're right, the board overall, when I say the board, I mean the amount of funding that was available, you're right, did decrease 1.9 million. I'm sorry, 1.9 million to ResCare or Equus. But how you get to that is the board did receive about $1.5 million less, but we withheld about $550,000 more of that to fund a lot of these one-time programs I talked about. So we withheld more of it, And then the amount of unallocated, we withheld less of that by about 84,000. So that formula, you start with 1.5 million less as a board, but yet we held back more as a board by over $500,000. So when you put that together, that's where you get to the 1.9 to their level. Because we take money off the top. I start with how much is available. Then I take the money off that to support us here at the board level, all the projects, and then the remaining balance goes to the subrecipient. So because you're right, we did start out 1.5 million less, but we held back more at the board level to fund a lot of these projects, which created less for ResCare. That's how you came up with that 1.9 million.
Okay, thank you.
Randy, I also have a question. We spent $650,000 for the Denton move. We're to be reimbursed $150,000. I didn't see that show up anywhere. Does it go into unallocated funds, or did you log it in somewhere else?
No, it's a portion. Cherie, if you scroll down, they're looking at the recommendation. If you scroll down to the first attachment A that's just right below there, it may be so small, but we'll try to show it. Cherie, if you can enlarge that a little bit so my older eyes here can see this. I'm getting worse here in the last few years. Okay, so if you look down, Cherie, if you'll see at the top, you see child care contracts. In the middle, you see core programs or new funding. And in that program, you'll see, if you go down from about the 1, 2, 3, 4th from the bottom, you'll see vocational rehabilitation, VR. So when you go across to 21, you're going to see about 600,000 that's held back. Within that 600,000, that's funding we're estimating from them, VR, that 150 is buried within that 600,000. So that's part of our funding. What makes up the rest of that? So 150 of it I'm projecting to come for the move, but the rest of it, they give us. I mentioned earlier in the presentation that we currently have 5 centers that's got VR staff. Well, they pay for their VR staff's portion of rent, utilities, and telephone and all that stuff. So all of that's buried in there. That's to support their current staff in our centers, and that's to support the move. So all of that's buried in that 600,000.
Okay, thank you. I understand that.
So actually, that's a reduction from the previous year, Randy.
Well, the grant, if you look right next to that 600,000, it actually, the grant is supposed to go up 141,672. It's because the overall funding, for a couple reasons, that 150 is in there to move them. That's caused it to go up. Plus, we're going to be in Denton part of the time, part of the year. So that's going to increase their rent utilities for their staff to at least a few months to be in Denton this year. So all that together, the actual grant for VR to go up that $141,000.
So what I'm looking at is the FY20 number is 458,000 for total funding.
Right. And then if you look over into the 21 side, that's 600,000.
Right. But using what you just said, to show where your extra 150 is coming from, you just said that it was going to cost more for rent, utilities, and all of that. So that's not... So the actual overall funding you're getting is less, because 600 minus the 458 is 150.
Yeah, and so it didn't work out. The budget of 458 the year before, some of that, the expenditures, and we did have some money in there when we moved McKinney. They actually, we integrated, I can't remember, about 14 staff in McKinney. So there was some move costs in the year before as well. So okay. 150 is not a pure increase, because in the year before, in 20, they gave us money to move their staff in McKinney as well. So it won't be dollar for dollar that 150 because of that.
Okay.
Because 2020's version had a move cost in it too, as well. It just wasn't as big. McKinney, there's only 14 staff, and Denton's going to be roughly 21, 22 staff. So, but there was some move cost in the previous years as well.
Hey, go ahead.
Sorry. I have a question when you're finished, David.
I just would like to comment on the professional services section. Okay. I'm all for understanding what what we have going on and all of that. The I don't know how much we've spent on the website already, but an additional $60,000 is a pretty large figure. So I don't have a solid answer for what it should be, but $100,000 for mystery shoppers would be hard for me to take back to my taxpayer and say, that's what we're paying someone to evaluate our services that we're paying for already. So I have difficulty with that as a line item in there. So I don't know who to address that to.
David, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Mystery shopper is different than our, and I think you're equating what we do like with monitoring. Is that what you're referring to as that we're already paying for?
Yes.
So the way these mystery shoppers work, and you may be familiar with it, is we hire an outside independent company to go in, and what they do is they go in and they act like our customers coming in. The workforce center is not going to know them, that they're not a customer. And they will ask questions about services. They'll see what level of support they get, you know. And so when we haven't done this for a while, and I think we need it as an independent barometer of what's going on daily in our centers. So that's what we're going to use it for. It's not monitoring per se. It is just the real, it's just like, you know, somebody walks into the center and says, I'm Joe Blow. I'd like to learn about your WIOA program. I don't think they actually get to the point where they register them in the systems, but they're gauging the level of support they get from the staff at the contractor level.
David Stetzer, how many centers do we have?
12.
And how many times are you going to be in each location for the full year?
Well, that will be part of the scope of work when we have to go out and we have to bid this and get a company to come in and do it. So that'll be part of the scope of work. But Christina or Dana, did we have any idea about how many would that touch all of our centers multiple times?
I would say yes, because we would want to assess different types of services and how they are received, maybe from an employer's perspective, from a youth perspective, from an adult career seeker seeking upskilling services. So we would want to have different experiences at each center to see how they're being managed. I know when we did it before, I was not as heavily involved with the process, so I'm not sure how that compares to what we did before, but that is what we're hoping to look at this time around.
I don't think in the past, I mean, we haven't done this for about 10 years, as I remember, and maybe longer than that. And I don't think we had more centers, and I think we budgeted less money. So this is probably going to be a little bit, have a little bit more substance to it. Dana, do you remember, Randy, what we budgeted? I want to say it was 2006, 2007. Maybe it was 50,000, something like that.
You know, I don't remember, but I think it was closer to 50. I'd have to go back and look, but yeah, it was, that number does sound familiar.
This is Debbie. Let me jump in and say, I don't remember the budgeted amount. I remember at the time specifically that we were wishing that it had, as David said, it had been more robust. It was something we gained some insight from, but from what I'm aware of, this, as you know, it's been said, it has to be procured. But you know, the approach will be much more robust, and so you know, I do remember that specifically from 2006.
David, one thing that we hope to, I would think, layer into this that we did not have in the past was a virtual services element. So we now have another avenue for the customers to receive service, and that is something that we'd want to make sure we include in the scope for the consultants.
And this is Roz, and my concern is that the lion's share of the money does go to childcare. And I know that I've had some complaints about spontaneity and really working with the people for getting their children in. So I'd like for sure to see that we are directing a lot of this to what is happening for childcare.
Will the board get to see those reports?
Absolutely.
Thank you for that feedback, Ross.
Mm-hmm. We'll probably make that part of, that would probably be operational. It'd probably be the WD committee. We bring those reports up to that committee. But yeah, we'll make those available to the board. Absolutely.
This is Debbie, and I imagine we'll also share that as the overall quality perspective to ONA, because Carlton also receives finalized versions of our monitoring reports, and I just want to bring it to the board's attention that we do have our fiscal and programmatic monitoring reports posted for the board to read on a rolling 12 calendar year basis, just because otherwise it would get too big, so that when we finalize the report with Equus, you can go in and look at the finalized reports and see what we found and what they responded and what we'll be doing follow-up with them on, so that that helps you guys keep an eye on what we're seeing.
I do want to mention
David,
that
on the I was going to say on the website cost, this is a total redesign of our website. We're moving providers. We're changing the content management system. So it's a pretty big project.
So on the strategic $100,000 for strategic planning services, is that the TIPS people that we're using now, or what is that program?
Christina, you want to address that? That is TIPS, right?
It is the completion of the current.
No. Go ahead, Christina.
It is the completion of the current engagement with TIPS strategies. That was also delayed, as you recall, due to COVID. So we started late with our meetings and won't finish that project this fiscal year as intended, and then the remaining funds will also be available for future engagements. And I think this is what David was about to mention when we first spoke to you about TIP strategies and entering that contract with them. We talked about a larger procurement for ongoing services beyond this initial engagement.
What was
that has yet to be procured.
Okay, so we entered, so the TIPS guys are working off of this current year's money right now.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the total cost of that contract? I apologize, I should have known that already.
It's less than $50,000. It was a small purchase, so it's about $47,000, I think, and we don't expect to expend it all because some of it included travel when they were going to be coming up for the in-person meetings with us.
Okay. I hate to be the squeaky wheel here. So in the next budget, we're planning to double that amount towards what goal? I guess I'm not following.
Not exactly. It will be the remainder of the current $49,000, whatever doesn't get whatever doesn't get completed by September 30th, and its work towards that current contract will be paid out of this $100,000. In our minds, we thought $25,000. And then the remainder will be the remaining $75,000 would be for another contract, probably with an increased scope. We, as David said, we haven't procured it yet or written the specifications. We really want to see what's going to come out of the current sessions to see what services we're going to need and to put that in there. And it may be for a longer period of time.
Okay.
Let me remind you that we're going to be discussing this next week during our board meeting. Mm-hmm. So if there's any follow-up questions or responses, we can handle it then.
I appreciate knowing where some of the concerns are.
I'll add one to the list.
Oh, great. Thank you.
What I would consider to be the general and administrative portion of the budget is going from 13.7% to 18.4%. And I understand the decrease in revenues, which automatically drives that percentage up. But I will be curious, and we don't need to get into it today because we've got 6 minutes left before we told everybody we'd be finished. I would be curious to find out from Randy how that gets funded, because I doubt somebody's going to pay us more money because our expenses went up. So I suspect it's coming out of reserves, but I would like to have that addressed next week.
Okay.
And Roger, this is Kenny. I just got a couple of quick things I'd like to add to be prepared for next week.
Go ahead. And Carlton, when he's finished, why don't you go ahead and get your consensus on recommendation so okay. that we can kind of wrap up.
Hey, Randy, you mentioned the first point is on the pay. There's a statement of salary adjustment, and I think there needs to be clarification of whether there is the budget includes a proposed salary increase that's tied to either the federal or the state budget. I don't know. And I guess I should know this, whether or not each of you are classified as a federal or state employee.
Let me speak to that. We're not classified that way, but several years ago, we had our own salary table at the Council of Governments, but we got into this whenever they would come to monitor us, there was always contention about where we fell. So, probably 5 or 6 years ago, the COG repurposed or reprogrammed all of our job descriptions into the state pay plan. So yes, we are, our jobs translate to a position on the state plan. Like, you know, there's the A schedule and there's a B schedule.
Right.
And A schedule being, you know, non-exempt, and B schedule being primarily exempt. So my position, Mr. Okay. Eason's position, that everybody's position equates to a level in one of those two salary schedules at the state.
Okay. Well, I just think it would be good for the board to hear any pay discussion in context of the state salary strategy for 2021, because I think that's applicable to this discussion and puts it in the proper context. So if you could just be prepared to do that next week, that would be helpful. The second thing I wanted to just briefly say, this apprenticeship grant, it is Bombardier, and it is an aerospace company in Red Oak, and this has come out of left field for any of us that have been participating in this. And to hear Aaron's plea for apprenticeship programs, I'd like some discussion next week about how this was inserted in the budget as a specific line item for a company to receive a grant. I think it's a great addition, but why not more, and how do we get more, I guess is what I'm curious to be able to understand, because this is exactly what Aaron's been talking about, and I think we need to be prepared, it leads to the question of how much of this budget is input to us by the state as a line item insertion versus us being able to have the flexibility within the board to allocate apprenticeship Texas expansion grants within the employer footprint of our board. In other words, did the state tell us to do this, or did we request this? And if we requested it, how do we line up, obviously next year's budget, because we're too late for this year, for apprenticeship grants? So that's just my only two comments for next week, I guess. Thanks.
So a quick clarifying question to Christina. Was this the one where the state allocated a certain amount to each board, or was this a competitive a grant? Do you remember?
Yes, it was competitive. It's a small amount. It is not part of our funding that we carved out for apprenticeships. We were aware of what's going on in Red Oak, and the cost of that apprenticeship program is pretty great, and we're only covering 20% of it. We are capped at a cost of $2,000 per their grant. We're capped at a cost of $2,000 per apprentice served. So we backed in really to that number of how much of the apprenticeship we can support, and what we're bringing to the table is to try to bring non-traditional apprentices to their program to help them with outreach. And then part of the requirement of this grant is also that you have, I think it's like a point, it's a very small percentage, it's not even half of an FTE, to be an apprenticeship navigator. So that person will be charged with maybe having some roundtables with employers in the area to try to promote the apprenticeship model. The goal is to expand on existing apprenticeship programs and also to encourage the development of more.
Okay, thank you, Christina. And I'm sorry, David, one more quick comment. This is editorial, maybe, if nothing else. The idea in 2020 of just having a website design versus a social media marketing strategy, I think is the proper terminology to assign to that contracting effort. The board should have a social media marketing strategy, not a web redesign. And I just encourage us to maybe think about how we look at that contract effort.
And we're actually doing that. We're holding meetings among all the stakeholders of all the different groups that are represented by our funding and that use the website now to incorporate just that. It's not just redesigning the platform. It is looking at how we're going to increase outreach. What social media can we do? How's our virtual outreach working now? And what can we do to expand it? So yeah, it's, maybe the nomenclature is a little misleading. I agree.
Thanks, David.
All right, we do have a recommendation that the Oversight and Accountability Committee recommend the Workforce Board of Directors approve the Workforce Board staff and centralized functions FY 2021 budget equaling $15,842,000. The balance of available funds is projected to be allocated to COGS subrecipient for program delivery, currently estimated to be $859,850,000, with a small percentage designated as unallocated contingency funds, approximately $390,000. So from the O&A committee, do we have a recommendation or do we have a motion to recommend that?
Hi, this is Gay Goodwin. I will motion that we move forward with the recommendation.
All right, we have a motion to move forward with the recommendation. Do we have a second?
This is Jennifer. I second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? If not, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Same sign. Okay, that recommendation passes. And Roger, I guess we will call the Oversight and Accountability Committee meeting adjourned.
Carlton, this is Kelly. I did want to go ahead and answer David's question that he had earlier. Regarding how many subsidy providers are currently open. We have 626 in our region, and we have 76 of those are closed. So we have 550 subsidy providers that are still currently open.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Excellent, thank you very much. Okay, other business. Does anybody have any other business they want to bring forward? Okay, I do. Kenny, during our last meeting, Carvin forwarded that state statute 2308.303. I would love to have your comments. As a matter of fact, I asked, I don't know if you were on the call by the at this point, but I've asked that that be included in the packet that we send out. So I'd kind of like to steer some of the discussion along those ways. The apprenticeship discussion is definitely on that list. As a matter of fact, I would tell staff that I would like to move through performance update, financial update, and budget expeditiously during our meeting so that we have time for discussion along those lines. And
Roger.
Go ahead.
Do you want all of the 2308, or is it that one specific section of 2308 that you want to see?
Just the section that Carbon sent. It's
okay.
2-3 page.
Okay.
Other business. Anything else? Discussion on future agenda items. After reading that 2308, Christina, I would think that future agenda items may include the TRS and childcare, maybe something about local business needs, maybe something about the educational system, or an update or some kind of a news statement on. I'll repeat my list. The TRS childcare being one, two, business needs, three, educational system update, and four, any news about stakeholders. And I would break that up into partners and the collaborative partners that TIP strategy identified the other day. And another item that I wanted to raise is we don't know where we are with this COVID situation. I read yesterday that somebody thinks there'll be a vaccine out, but I'm kind of wondering if we couldn't make our centers available to our counties. You know, if our county judge needed someplace as a testing center or a vaccination center, something that would allow us to help return people to the workforce. And if we can't get into that, because I understand the logistics and the needs, maybe just provide a clearinghouse of information as these things start to unfold, start accommodating business needs and maybe even educational system needs as it relates to testing if we get another wave, or vaccination if that materializes. So that's just kind of food for thought. Does anybody else have anything on future agenda items? Okay, as I mentioned earlier, tomorrow we have my first top meeting with discussion with Ed Cerna, and I've listed a couple questions as a result of this, and I will update the board at our meeting next week. With nothing else, I want to express my appreciation for the nominating committee, the O&A committee, the executive committee, and staff. While there's discussion about the budget and some give and take on that, that's exactly what our system is meant for. And I appreciate staff having the detail and the information available that you do. So if there's nothing else on this meeting, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Do we have a second? We have a second with Carlton. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries, and we will see you next week. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you.